Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 87 or so of the Skulls cast, where we are going to start finishing?
It's the beginning of the end.
Of our lengthy, laborious, eternal set reviews of, in this case, still retcons of Tarkir.
Yes.
Fate. Reforged Magic the Gathering.
Now that they've started showing off the next set, maybe we ought to finish off
this
one.
Oh, man.
They make too many Magic cards. They should just do one set a year.
They make way too many Magic cards. How can I keep up?
No one does. No person can. Only a corporation can.
They even said that they were switching over to a system where we would have like a consistent number of sets in rotation compared to what we had before, like grow and shrink.
Yeah.
Based on the block structure. And I saw that neat diagram for it and everything, and I'm like, wow, that's a neat diagram. And then I kind of missed the point and forgot what they had actually genuinely changed to affect that. And now it just seems like we have way too many cards again.
We've always had too many cards.
I think the problem is that they established this new structure and then also left themselves room to do a summer bonus set that also introduces new cards into Eternal formats, like injects them directly. So we get our Commander Vault Mick
Duel.
Yeah, Commander Vault Duel Chase.
I wish.
Yeah, we haven't had an unset in a while. What is the kind of them thinking of, though? The one that was like, oh, Master. Master and Commander from the Vault.
I mean, there's even, talking about new modern Masters, and now there's other thing. Corset is dead, along with Corset.
Mm.
It's now the reverse, and screw this game. First card, we're doing blue today.
Blue.
First card is Aven Surveyor, 3 and double blue for a 2/2 Bird Scout coming in at common. That's flying, as birds I want to do. When Aven Surveyor enters the battlefield, choose one, put a +1/+1 counter on Aven Surveyor, or return target creature to its owner's hand. Oh, how I miss. How that one creature is missed.
So if you're thinking this is the second coming of Mistraven, you're right. If you tack on one more CMC to just plain old Mistraven, it's still basically fine.
Yeah.
And kind of good.
And in the, I guess occasionally you might choose the first ability.
Yeah, I mean, if your opponent is at 9 and you need an evasive threat to break up the board, yeah. That's totally reasonable. There are plenty of circumstances where you might want to make use of the +1 counter. The only thing that I don't like about this card is that it fits into that cycle of cards that I don't like, where they have this new templating for how their choice system goes.
For modes.
And just so they could show it off as much as freaking possible, they put bullet points on like every single thing. It's like Aven Surveyor is giving this PowerPoint presentation to me. He's like, all right, you could choose. Put a +1/+1 counter on me. Return target creature to its owner's hand. And of course, he's the annoying kind where he reads the entire...
Right, he reads the slide directly.
Yeah.
It's just...
That's all I can see. Maybe I've seen too many PowerPoint presentations in my life.
I had to tell my students to not do that recently.
Please don't do that. Oh, my goodness. But no,
this is a fine card.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Common.
Very powerful common. He's probably the top common of the set.
Wow.
I mean,
it is Mistraven, which...
Right. I mean, there are some removal spells at common. There are some decent creatures at common, but this is like... This is really primo. I can't remember any common that I would take over this, and I would take it over plenty of uncommons and rares.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's pretty dang good.
All right. Aven Surveyor. Next card is Cloudform, 1 and double blue for an enchantment at uncommon. When Cloudform enters the battlefield, it becomes an aura with enchant creature. Manifest the top card of your library and attach Cloudform to it. enchanted creature has flying and hexproof. Oh, that wasn't so bad. Four lines of that with reminder text.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it says to manifest a card, etc. So
this is one of those fake, like, auto-manifest and boosted up enchantments that has to get awkwardly worded because you can't say, like, you can't have an aura that says... And it can't just be an aura
right,
in its type line, because it would lack a target.
Right.
Unless it
did
something super
whenever
wacky.
You cast an aura, you declare a target.
Yeah.
In fact, you declare a target before you pay a cost, even.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can change costs.
But this is 3 mana for 2/2 flying hexproof.
It's decent. Like, this, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to cast than some other better double blue things, just because, like, one blue, it's a little
confusing. Yeah, it's denser on the blue.
And unlike some other great manifest cards, it doesn't immediately put something in the graveyard for delving, even though it's in the colors for it. But it's still just fine. Like, Evasion is really good in this format. I think people undercut it quite a bit.
Protects its neck.
There are a lot of... The gum is grounded up.
Yeah.
The ground is gummed up.
Grind your gum.
A lot of 2/2s and things that block 2/2s and all 0/5s, like walls, very good.
So
just
fly
being
over
able
it.
To fly over it is really great.
And hey, maybe you actually have a creature under there, and you get to it will stay flying and
like,
hexproof. Importantly, after you flip it up,
it's not like they can aim a removal spell at it. Jeez, now Cloudform's fine.
All right, next up is Enhanced Awareness. It's a hilarious name. 4 and a blue for an instant at common. Draw 3 cards, then discard a card.
Okay, it's an instant card called Sift. The Sift cost, it used to cost anyway, blue 3, and it was a sorcery. And it was this exact text.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. Enhanced Awareness is all right. As an instant, it can be your, like, prowess combat trick. It dumps something in the yard for delve. It interacts favorably with, like, those kind of things. For one, I would never want a limited deck with more than one of these, unless I was some kind of bizarre flip-out heavy delve kind of deck.
Yeah. If you're really trying to enable your delve, this doesn't, I guess, cut off your nose just to enable delve. It's still... you know, getting you cards.
Yeah, no. It's fine even outside of a delve deck, or if you just have the one delve card in your deck. It's like your one treasure trees, your one Gurmag angler or something. This is really great for that. It's a reason to sandbag lands, and you know, you get to upgrade that land into a card with your, like, instant speed concentrate. It's kind of good.
Alright.
The art is pretty bad.
Sort of wacky.
There's some kind of like techno fabulous adventure detective mode going on with that, and I don't know why this is on.
They're doing magical topography. That's what the flavor text insinuates.
Oh, it does say topography, doesn't it?
Yep.
Is that a topographical diagram on his right?
Well, he's assumed a topographical stance. That a topographer might, like, I've shown you when I practice topography before, right?
I think you're just making those hand gestures to fit with him or be stylish on your own or call back to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or something. But
JoJo's is all about topography.
And it's very not about super science yet,
no.
I guess.
No.
It's just, this art is wacky. This art belongs to a creature card. And you just take off the techno stuff. Maybe you take the hands out of it. And this is like running creature man, you know?
Football. He's definitely a football smith.
He is football. He has the stupid orc shoulder swords.
Yeah, but since they get cut off, they don't look quite as wacky.
They don't look, but you can extend them like several
inches above. I know
it's
there. But it got cut off, so I can imagine that it's sane.
Fine.
Speaking of imagining that things are sane... Our next code is Fascination. X and double blue for a sorcery at uncommon. Choose one. Each player draws X cards. Or, each player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
The only fascinating part about this card is that it got printed at all.
I'm fascinated. I would be fascinated if anyone beat me with this.
I guess the illustration has Silumgar.
Yes,
in it
got spooky Silumgar in the back. He's like, hey, yeah.
Want the secret of dragon magic? It's not very good. Giving your opponent cards and they get to untap and then use
beat
them
you down with
before
those cards.
You do. That's a strong statement. Like, if you're willing to trade this and let's say we cast it at 5.
Okay.
And I spend my turn casting it at 5, drawing 3 cards, and handing 3 cards to my opponent. That's a pretty strong statement about, like, the relative card quality that I believe comes from my opponent's deck.
Yeah.
Like, no, your cards are so much worse than mine. You can have as many as you want, really. I'll go -1 on you. Just, you know, here, pick. Send anything at me that you want. I'm full of bombs and crazy powerful stuff, so I managed to stock.
Nothing but dragons. Every turn from now on, hope you've got answers.
I mean, if you want to be the 80-card limited deck and run Fascination and... Like, they didn't even give this Delve. That would go a long way to fixing it in my mind. Because then it would at least have a hook. Because then it would be like, oh, well, if you're the Delve deck, you can do this to, like, reset your Delve, just to exile things for no reason. Or, like, maybe forget the choose one so we're not overloaded with PowerPoint presentations, and instead of, like, the mill part of it, we just have, like, each player draws X Delve. Because then we have, like, hey, there's something to this. You can power it up way beyond what you would be able to otherwise. And maybe, like, as a draw 7, it's a little more appealing. Because maybe, you know, you can make your opponent overdraw or something.
Each player draws X Delve. Someone would break that in Legacy.
I don't care. Like, okay, we used to have this deck way back in the day called Prosper Geddenbloom, which used Cadaverous Bloom.
Yeah, I know the Prosbloom two things.
Okay.
As I've put that together in Cube before.
Okay, well, they put Armageddon in that, too, so no one would have lands. But anyway, you just cast Cadaverous Bloom and then Prosperity for as many cards as you want, discarding cards to get more mana for the next Prosperity. So you could draw You could have everyone draw their entire deck and then win with, I don't know, something. But whatever. The point is, maybe you had, like, 75 cards in your deck. And, like, everyone else's 60-card deck would die to your deck because you'd deck them first. Something like that. This is not that, because Prosperity was 1 blue and X, and there was a sorcery in Dissension called the Sky Scribing, which was blue-blue X for each player draws X, but it also had a forecast, so you could, like, use it for something else. So that's better than this. I don't know, there's, like, everything is better than this. I can't.
That's because it's not very good.
It's pretty bad.
Wait, no, I didn't put Frostbloom together in Cube. I keep thinking. Put Vexer together, because that's a much better deck. Speaking of better. Alright, either way, my old war stories aside, our next card is Frostwalker. 1 and a blue for a 4/1 elemental at uncommon. When Frostwalker becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it.
This is definitely a teamer plant. It's kind of, here, become ferocious with this thing.
Yeah. Being ferocious on 2 can be pretty nice for some of the 3 drops that care about ferocity. With 1 toughness, most things that would target it would kill it anyway.
Right, which is why this guy is actually kind of great. It can trade with most anything. So we have, like, this blue Death Touch creature, sort of. And maybe just having power double your freaking mana cost is enough to put pressure on your opponent.
Maybe your creature gets through and deals damage to your opponent.
Yeah, how about, like, this followed up with Force Away on your Morph, attack for 4. Hey. Don't target it with anything of yours.
Don't try and juice it up, because that ability does what it says it does.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of doing what they say they do, our next card is Jeskai Infiltrator, 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human monk at rare. Jeskai Infiltrator can't be blocked as long as you control no other creatures. When Jeskai Infiltrator deals combat damage to a player, exile it and the top card of your library in a face-down pile, shuffle that pile, then manifest those cards.
So with Jeskai Infiltrator here, you play two-card Monty.
Yeah.
And like, which one's the guy? It's like, who cares? You're getting absurd value off of this if it hits even once. And I guess, yeah, if he's your first drop, you get the evasion basically for free. And like, you know, starting life on three is no big deal. No, I like this guy a lot.
And then...
he's kind of wacky and zany, but...
yeah, he's wacky and zany, but that's okay because he's not, like... that's not... he's wacky and zany and also just kind of good at his job.
Like, he starts off with an okay body. Just, like, you know...
2-1-2-3
3-1-2-3 He's not 2-1-2-3 If he were 2-1-2-3, he'd be off the chain. No, like, oh yeah, this is my like manifest engine.
This is my unblockable Elvish Warrior manifest engine.
Right, but the best part is that you get to then thereafter like attack with both manifests and play the guessing game.
Right.
Be like, huh? All right. Which one is he? Do I get another 2-2?
No matter what happens, you're ahead, and sometimes your opponent will feel like they are bad at games.
Yeah. It's great. This guy is pretty great. He's
excellent. He's not, I'd first pick it.
Yeah, well, he's first pickable, I think. He's better than a lot of uncommons and commons. Just there, it's small and efficient. A ton of rares better than him in this set, because their rares are kind of good.
Yeah, but he's small and efficient, and he does what you need him to do. This card actually might do what you need it to do. Jeskai Runemark, 2 and a blue for an aura at common that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2. Enchanted creature has flying as long as you control a red or white permanent. So this is part of the Runemark cycle.
Right.
But flying is actually pretty good.
Flying is a decent ability to tack on to just any creature. Like, a lot of the rune marks sort of fall flat as they're like, oh, I'll give you this ability that you don't care
like
that you
plus
have.
+2/+2 and death touch.
+2/+2 and, like, I beat your guy in combat because I'm bigger and then I have first strike, so I beat him in combat. What? That's not doing anything.
Flying
this is
does
doing
something.
A lot. Putting this on your gore swine or whatever is a fast
Do not put this on your frostwalker. I know you want
to.
But don't do it.
Put it on the Gorswine instead.
Yeah.
Especially put it on any given red or white creature.
Yeah,
because then they can't do the like full blowout in combat of, oh, I'll kill your one red or white permanent and then your guy doesn't fly anymore. This is, you know, that doesn't really
white
go.
White has its choices of decent 1 and 2 drops. So why not? You know, I know we talked bad about the other rune marks, but flying is good.
Flying is good enough to justify this.
Flying...
like this, there's a blue enchantment that gives +2/+2 in flying that made its way into constructed formats.
A spectral flight?
Spectral flight.
Yeah.
Which is way better than this. Like, astonishingly, absurdly better than this. And this is still okay.
Yeah. So this is not showing up in constructed anytime soon. But for drafts, this is fine.
If you're going to go in on any aura, it should probably be like this one. Well, okay, and auras that like harm your
opponent. Yeah, like debilitating injury, sure.
Like I said, a self-targeting aura.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Jeskai Sage. 1 and a blue for a 1/1 human monk with prowess, and when Jeskai Sage dies, draw a card.
You just can't beat this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just not going to feel good about this. It's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, are they sending him in just because they want to draw the card, or are they sending him in to try and, like, prowess out and beat my guy in combat? You'll never know until it happens.
Right.
He's an excellent chump blocker. He's a decent attacker.
The combination of prowess making the creature more dangerous and the when it dies draw card making you kind of not want to like do a like one for one trade with it makes this, you know, if your opponent has mana up, it can feel awkward. It's not like a maze or whatever, but it can feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up is Lotus Path Djinn, 3 and a blue for a 2/3 Djinn Monk at common with flying and prowess.
Yep, that's it. That's all there is to this guy. He's pretty decent. He's not quick enough to beat the fast decks, but he is evasive enough to beat basically anything else.
Mm.
He's standing on the little wind orb from Avatar.
Yeah, he's got his airbending going.
I guess that's his prowess, or maybe his flying.
Yeah.
The Lotus Path looks very straight. It actually looks like something from Star Wars.
Why'd you say that? Now I can't unsee it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty odd. Like, they have the red wall into the red carpet into, like, more techno spines on their... And then these sweeping reverse buttresses that would only happen in, like, sci-fi settings. This guy is totally a sci-fi card. Just give him, like, a... give him some kind of Master Chief... Techno.
Yeah, give him the Geordi visor.
Thing. Yeah. And then like Romulan Lotus Pathogen.
There we go. Alright. Next up is Meringue River Prowler. 2 and a blue for a 2/1 human rogue at uncommon. Meringue River Prowler can't block. And can't be blocked. You may cast Meringue River Prowler from your graveyard as long as you control a black or green permanent.
This guy's really good.
Hmm.
So, as much as we like flying, which is a lot in Dragons? Cons?
Fate Reforged.
Fate? Retcons?
Retcons.
Okay. As much as we like flying in the limited format, this is better than that?
Right, this is can't... Well, I mean, it's usually better than that.
When is this not better than that?
If you need to block to not die.
Okay, fine.
Most creatures can block, Cass.
The reason that he can't block is because they don't want... Okay, for whatever reason, they don't want, like, the same creature to come back and block again and again and
right,
again.
Right. This is on Bloodsoaked Champion.
Right.
Same deal there.
But they're totally okay with cards that make precisely one token every turn that can block.
Yes. That's different.
Because that's different. Because that...
We're wizards W and D.
Words.
And no, development.
This guy is just fine. I wonder what they serve at Meringue River... Sounds tasty.
Mmm. Probably, like, elk?
He looks like an orchid hunter, actually. He's got his little machete going up and down the river. He's tired. Man, that guy is tired.
This guy is exhausted. He's been traveling all day.
I guess. You know, why can a human, like, jump back from the grave, either?
That's because of the river. He's been in that river so long, he's more river than man now.
Ah, okay. Human river rogue.
I mean, he's tired of living but scared of dying.
Oh, I see. The currents of the meringue wash away both tracks and sugar. That's what it said.
Oh, there you go. I only just now got your joke. Next card is Mind Scour Dragon. 4 and double blue for a 4/4 dragon, uncommon, with flying. Whenever Mind Scour Dragon deals combat damage to an opponent, target player puts the top 4 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
This is in a pretty tight cycle of uncommon dragons. They're all 6 mana, they're all 4/4 flying, they all have creature dragon on their type line, and they have some trigger ability that says when they something, do something.
Yeah.
And this is the worst of them.
Milling 4 is not thrilling.
Probably don't want to do it to your opponent because you're just giving them more devil fuel.
Unless you are very sure, you know, unless they're showing you the red-white deck.
Yeah, I guess so. You can't have any delve in that.
It could enable your own delve if you're into
that's
and it
neat.
Is still a 4/4 flyer.
And that's why it's still okay. Right. This is by no means bad. It's just the worst of its cycle.
Right. Yeah. 6 mana for a 4/4 flyer in, you know, 4/2 of color. It's just like, yes, adequate creature, check, will defeat my opponent by attacking for damage. Alright, next card is maybe a card that's better at defeating your opponent by attacking for damage. Mistfire Adept, 3 and a blue for a 3/3 human monk at uncommon, with prowess, and whenever you cast a non-creature spell, target creature gains flying until end of turn.
This guy is great.
He's this creature a lot because we start with Hill Giant.
Yeah, blue then, Hill Giant.
And then we start handing off flying.
Blue just gets now, I
also
guess.
Also gets bigger. But right. I think the handing off flying is really the strong
part
of this.
That's the
card.
Claim to fame. I mean, if he's attacking as a 4/4, there's often not a lot that can meaningfully block or interact with him. So you pass the flying off to your leftover piker from a previous turn or Yawmor for something that wouldn't otherwise get through. He never lacks a target because he can also jump. And he's riding on a kite.
More airbending.
Oh, wait, maybe he has the, stretchy stick?
I can't really
tell. The red stretchy stick, and it can grow to any size. So
the staff.
Right.
Yeah. That monkey had.
It's the monkey staff.
Yeah. I don't think if he had that, he'd be rare.
Yeah,
at least.
Probably not. There is
There's
some
only one of those.
Weird Dutch angle on this card that I don't understand. Or maybe just on him. Also, the mist fire is, I guess, coming from your boots. So this guy is thinking with his feet.
That's dangerous. A man can go anywhere he can think of if he's thinking with his feet.
The quieter the feet, the calmer the mind.
All right. Well, quite opposed to that in flavor text is this next card, Monastery Siege. 2 and a blue for an enchantment at rare. As Monastery Siege enters the battlefield, choose Khans or Dragons. Khans, at the beginning of your draw step, draw an additional card, then discard a card. And then Dragons, spells your opponent's cast that target you or a permanent you control cost 2 more to cast.
Alright. I think this is also the worst of its cycle, just because the sieges are really good.
Some of them are extremely unusually good.
Yeah, the Khans version of this looks kind of just worse than the, red one, Outpost Siege, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then the Dragons one is kind of unique. I mean, it protects itself in case you're some kind of Protecto-Woozle. That's rarely worth the card.
Yeah,
the
I think in most cases I'd pick the Khans on this.
Hey, just get some extra
loot every turn. Sure, why not?
We already do that with Sultai Ascendancy, which I guess this is better than.
Sultai Ascendancy digs a little deeper.
Also, is very committed.
Yeah,
and
this is pretty splashable. Yeah. It's all right. I mean, I've seen people win because of it. I've seen people lose despite it. It's not as big and bomby as the other sieges.
It's nowhere near as powerful as a lot of the rares in the format. Sort of all right.
All right. Speaking of all right, our next card is Neutralizing Blast. 1 and a blue for an instant uncommon. Counter target multicolored spell.
I think we can leave this one in the non-board. I was about to say sideboard, but I need something more side than that.
I'm happy to pick it 13th out of a pack and, have it in there in case of emergency that isn't, a multicolored morph. Which is going to be, most of your multicolor problems are morphs, is sort of the problem. And so if they're morphing them and then flipping them, they are never a multicolored spell.
I think the real problem is that most of your multicolored threats are also four or more mana. There's stark few of them that cost precisely three. And everything in... Well, okay, there's... Fine. There are some, like, two mana multicolored things, but they're few and far between. A Disdainful Stroke at common is just way better than this almost always. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's neutralize this card and...
Move on to the next one. Rakshasa's Disdain. Two and a blue for a common instant counter-target spell, unless its controller pays one for each card in your graveyard.
Now see, this is a common. It's more expensive, and I would much rather have it than Neutralizing Blast in my deck. Mm. You're like, okay, you know, cancel. This is almost always going to be cancel, by the way.
Yeah, without the double blue.
Right.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. Next up is Reality Shift. One and a blue for an uncommon instant. Exile target creature. Its controller manifests the top card of his or her library.
Wheel. This can be a sac outlet for your own things.
Yep.
The creature that you target can be a token or something that you just want to upgrade. Mm-hmm. Or it can be your opponent's huge bomb that you can replace with a 2/2.
Yeah.
Which is much easier to deal with.
That's about it. Sort of the old, what's it? Pongify.
Yeah, right. We have Pongify, Erratic Mutation? Rapid Hybridization.
Rapid Hybridization.
Yeah, that's...
Gave them a frog lizard?
It did. It's a 3/3 frog lizard.
Frog lizard?
Which is not as...
Frog lizard?
You know, this is not as thrilling as those, because this is 2 mana to give them a 2/2 rather than 1 to give them a 3/3. But yeah, no, it works. It's a really interesting card. It's not removal when you need removal, though. So be wary. Actually, kind of reminds me of the Curse of the Swine.
Pigs.
Yeah.
You pig up their board, but yeah. Sometimes that didn't solve your problem.
Yeah, that, it turns out more like poison seeds then, and they just beat you down with 2/2s.
Next up is Refocus. One and a blue for a common instant. Untap target creature. Draw a card. Oh.
I mean...
Assume the pose on the card.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that suddenly untaps, which makes me really happy about that one uncommon red card. Defector, Humble Defector.
Yeah.
Because you can do tricks with that and this. And you can also just use this in a Prowess deck because that's really the only place it belongs.
Yeah, this is good in a... Basically, you're doing this to trigger Prowess and make your opponent feel bad that they let you do something because you're probably also then, like, eating
right.
One of their creatures.
This is one of the worst because, you know... You untap your guy, he's bigger, you are card neutral on it, and you just eat their guy. It's pretty great.
Alright. Next up is Renowned Weaponsmith. One and a blue for a 1/3 human artificer at uncommon. Tap, add 2 to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts. Blue tap. Search your library for a card named Heart-Piercer Bow or Vial of Dragonfire, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
Heart-Piercer Bow is really lame, and I don't care how many of them you pick up, that doesn't make this guy good.
Mm.
I don't know what Vial of Dragonfire is because it hasn't been printed yet.
Yep, referring to cards in the future!
Yeah.
Well, I guess Heart-Piercer Bow is technically also from this guy's future. But it's from our present.
Mm-hmm.
Or past.
Or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have a feeling that Vial of Dragonfire is also going to be kind of bad or lame.
At best.
No. At best, it's going to be that card from Lorwyn. Shoot. The Vial of Poison, but it wasn't poison. It was
Moonglove extract.
It was an extract.
That's why.
So I think it's going to be a functional reprint of Moonglove extract.
See, I was guessing more along the lines of Blazing Torch. Because you know, hold the fire.
Right, you have to have the torch. But what would you not be able to be blocked by in this set? Because there are zombies, but this, to put like vampires and stuff on there would be kind of stupid.
No, it would just have the throw part.
It would be a strictly worse Blazing Torch.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy is garbage, by the way.
You can do way better than just a 2-mana 1/3 with no abilities, by the way.
And don't pick this guy. As soon as Dragons of Khans of Tarkir comes out, the dragon, whatever. If Vial of Dragonfire is suddenly like amazing, like Enigma's always Jitte or something, then this guy gets a lot better, obviously. But
it's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
Seems unlikely. Next card, Rite of Undoing. 4 and a blue for an uncommon instant with Delve. Return target non-land permanent you control and target non-land permanent you don't control to their owner's hands.
It's not bad. You know, frequently enough, you'll be able to remove the thing that you want. You might have to accept a kind of penalty of returning something, but you can also perhaps reset a raid trigger or some other end of the battlefield trigger.
Maybe your Mistraven back.
Right. Maybe your thing is tiny and theirs is huge, and so you can immediately recast it. Maybe this costs you 1 mana to do it, which is kind of hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I can get behind Rite of Undoing.
Alright. Well, here's another code about getting behind.
Yeah.
Sage Eye Avengers. 4 and double blue for a 4/5 Djinn Monk at rare with prowess. Whenever Sage Eye Avengers attacks, you may return target creature to its owner's hand if its power is less than Sage Eye Avengers' power. Avengers is.
Right. Yeah. This is pretty invincible.
It is a tough nut to crack, Cass.
If you get to attack with this, you've probably just won the game.
This is bound.
I'm going to bounce a creature of yours every single turn.
If you prowess with it, you're suddenly bouncing dragons back to your hand. It was like, you out.
Take that, Dravoka. Take that thing that you bolstered onto with your one-shot card. Take that thing with an aura on it that boosts its power. Who cares? I'm huger. I'm going to bounce whatever.
These are some djinns that understand topography.
It's true. Maybe they have the enhanced awareness. Is that why the one lady is like looking at her own hand?
Yeah, because she's doing topography.
Like, I see the runes of my techno-detective vision.
Oh yeah, topography. This is amazing. I want to slam this down and just cackle with gusto.
Kind of a bomb.
All right. Next up is Shifting Loyalties. 5 and a blue for an uncommon sorcery. Exchange control of 2 target permanents that share a creature type.
Card type.
Because creature is like...
Yeah, it says artifact, creature, and shape of land. And planeswalker are card types.
Planeswalker. Right. Okay, so share a card type. Please, sorry about that. So you make a trade. The key is to make it a good trade. The 6 mana is a lot for trading. So you need to make sure that you're going to have some kind of garbage around that you don't mind giving away.
See, the thing is, you could have a tribal artifact and a tribal enchantment. And they should share a card type.
Tribal isn't a card type?
But it is. Tarmogoyf says that it is.
Maybe they want us to forget.
They want to happen exactly what you just said.
Why would they want us to forget that tribal is a card type?
Now, I grant you that will never come up in Khans of Tarkir, and probably won't even come up at the kitchen table. I don't know if anyone has ever cast this card saying, aha, those are both tribal things, let's exchange them. And I'm certainly in no hurry to, but to quietly erase such a thing, I don't know. This card is also kind of junk, so I don't have much else to talk about. It used to be something called Leisure Demand, which was a better version of this because it only cost 4. There was also Juxtapose, yeah, which was easier to cast and cost 4. 4 is like this solid point for that kind of thing.
Yeah, Juxtapose, you didn't get to pick. It always picked, like, it auto-picked each person's, like, best, like, most expensive creature and artifact or whatever.
Something like that.
You didn't get to pick, but it was cheaper.
And you could still manipulate. Leisure Demand is like 4 mana, yo, exchange these 2 things. Either creatures or artifacts, and I thought that was about the right cost. Yeah. I think extending that into any given permanent would be all right. And I also guess the only way to really get people with this is to be like, here, have my
debilitating injury, I'll take your ascendancy or your siege.
Well, I was thinking more, here, have my Springleaf Drum, I'll take your Worm Coil Engine.
Yeah. I was going to say Ugin's Construct.
Yeah, okay, so, but I can't. Oh, yeah, have my banner. My off-color banner, I'll take your Ugin's Construct. But that's not happening either. This card is just way too narrow for that. Maybe you could do exchange a token for their huge guy. That's the only time I could see it.
Again, it is occasionally very good, but usually, on average, it's not.
Right. Not worth the card. Certainly not worth the 6 mana that you pay for it.
What if it delved?
If that had delve on it, suddenly it would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Next up is Shuyun, the Silent Tempest. 2 and a blue for a 3/2 legendary human monk at rare. Shuyun has prowess and, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you may pay 2 red-white hybrid mana. If you do, target creature gains double strike until end of turn.
So, yeah, the threat of that is pretty dang profound.
That's some advanced topography, Kaz. It's coming out with some rude stuff.
You can actually activate this guy that... He's rather unbeatable, too. Comes in quick, hits hard. And sometimes he's just sort of a 3/2 with prowess, which is also rather
good. That's also just like a decent base body.
He's a 3/2 who can just attack into morphs.
Yeah.
What do you get? Call me. I will crush you with, untapping my guy or something.
You can, if you have someone who's just bigger than him sitting around, you can give that creature the double strike.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it after blockers get declared to
right.
be like,
you
surprise!
Can do it if he's not even attacking, is the other part.
Chuyun does not even have to look danger in the face to hand off double strike. This is a powerful card, and you should win games with it. Please try to win games.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Sultai Skullkeeper, 1 and a blue for a 2/1 Naga Shaman at common. When Sultai Skullkeeper enters the battlefield, put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard.
Take that, Wetland Sandbar.
Yeah, this is a common piker that enables delve for you.
Would have gone right into Innistrad, too.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, if you want to, you can think of it as like, well, it enables my delve and I get a piker lying around. Well, it's a strict upgrade to your Wetland Sandbar, and there are times in a wizard's life where the wizard must include in their deck Wetland Sandbar.
No, I like this guy a lot.
It's fine, little small...
He's there to make sure you don't get run over while you're trying to power out your treasure cruise fueled heavy hitter deck.
Alright. Next up is Supplant Form. 4 and double blue for a rare instant. Return target creature to its owner's hand. You put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that creature.
This is pretty dang decent. one of those 6-mana instant speed bounce things.
Yeah.
That I guess blue gets a lot of in Cons of Tarkir, and yeah. like the world of Cons of Tarkir.
6-mana bounce, but with upside. In this case, the upside is getting a copy.
Or maybe it's an instant clone of something.
Yeah.
Maybe they're attacking you with something huge and dangerous, and you want it. Maybe they've aimed a removal spell at your huge, cool guy, and you want that to not happen.
This is this actually does a really clever job of dodging removal. Be like, oh!
What if I shifted slightly to the left, and I was still here? And then, I'm here again. Yeah.
I do like that it's instant and not sorcery, because it's very good as a surprise during your opponent's turn. Like, they tap out for their, like, Doom Crusher Dragon. And there are Doom Crusher Dragons in the format. So,
oh, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. Nope, I attack you with the Doom Crusher Dragon. I am the captain now. All right, speaking of being the captain, next up is Temporal Trespass. 8 and triple blue for a mythic rare sorcery.
Oh my goodness.
I kind of want to read the text in the reverse order just for dramatic effect. Take an extra turn after this one. Exile Temporal Trespass. Delve!
You're right. So,
Wizards is terrified of extra turn effects.
I guess. Oh no, Time Walk was too good, and Time Warp was also too good, and what was the Time Stretch was way too good.
Yeah, that gave them 2 turns. That's Man. Twice as too good.
Jeez. How can we make an extra turn effect completely horrible and unplayable? Make it 11 mana.
You get to delve for it. Could be just 3.
Could be just 3. My goodness.
If this is the one delve card in your deck,
then you'll still never cast it because 11 is too big.
11 is too big. Yes. It's too big. That number is too big. You know what else costs 11?
Leviathan?
Kozilek, Butcher of Truth.
Polar Kraken was the one that I was thinking of. Leviathan is a mere 10. As is Kozilek. It's Ulamog that's
on. Ulamog, the infinite giant, is like. Is indestructible?
Yes.
And, destroys a permanent.
Target permanent.
And makes them sack things when you attack. It's like, look, I get that this has Delve, and Delve makes things less expensive, but
few truly live in the moment, and few ever will cast Temporal Trespass to do it.
Oh. Well, maybe this next Mythic Rare is something a little better. Torrent Elemental. 4 and a blue for a 3/5 mythic rare elemental flying. Whenever Torrent Elemental attacks, tap all creatures defending player controls. 3 and 2 black-green hybrid mana. Put Torrent Elemental from exile onto the battlefield tapped. Activate this ability only any time you could cast a sorcery.
Yeah, this guy has wormed his way into various standard, modern, and I think even legacy lists, just on the strength of being able to, like, get around things that are exile.
Right, you know, like you swords it, okay. Grave.
And you can't block him. It is extremely hard to block.
It would
this
be
creature.
Very. You can, you're allowed to. It's. It presents a challenge, and if you do manage to do so, your opponent will likely congratulate you for
a
feat.
So a 5-mana 3/5 flyer is about cost, basically. I think we've seen that before. We've even seen, like, common 5-mana 2/5 flying, and that's been, like, fine.
Importantly, it also kind of makes the rest of your team unblockable.
Yeah!
Tap all creatures defending player controls.
And if you happen to, like, I don't know, mill him into your grave and delve him away, you can cast the dude, so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty hot.
He's just so extremely solid for everywhere that he is.
Yeah.
He's not a gorilla, but he's like every other kind of creature.
Mm. Alright, well, speaking of every other kind of creature, our next code is Whisk Away. 2 and a blue for a common instant. Put target attacking or blocking creature on top of its owner's library. I like
hey.
It. Yeah, just fill
Man,
my deck with this.
I remember casting Aether Toe, and I loved it.
I remember casting Griptide 6 times.
Yeah. Any of those are probably fine. This is cheaper than both of those.
Yeah.
It requires that the creature be attacking or blocking.
Most of the creatures you care to get rid of will be attacking or blocking.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is pretty good. You can think of it, you can pretty much think of this as a removal spell and pick it that way.
That's how I would assess it, yes. Next up is Will of the Naga. For a double blue for a creature named Will. No, it's an instant. It's a common instant with Delve. Tap up to 2 target creatures. Those creatures don't untap during their controller's next untap step. Get that icy
right,
breath.
6. Oh, what is that thing called? The one that's just that. Frost breath?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, doesn't that already get 2 creatures? Wait. Because it's chilling.
Crippling Chill?
Crippling Chill. It's Crippling Chill that cycles.
Yeah, Crippling Chill is 1 creature and it cycles.
Right. So, like, Frost Breath has to be just this.
Yeah.
This is just an expensive Frost Breath, and
it
has been
it.
The entire time.
Yeah. It's still good, though.
Crap. I guess it's okay.
It's basically still good.
That makes me mad. Maybe it makes me want Frost Breath or sleep. Jeez.
You will never get sleep.
I'm never going to get sleep.
You're
again.
Never getting sleep.
Sleep.
All right. And our last blue card is Right Into Being. 2 and a blue for a common sorcery. Look at the top 2 codes of your library. Manifest 1 of those codes, then put the other on the top or bottom of your library.
A lot of manifest gets a kind of chuckle from me because it's a swamp.
Yeah.
You know, the creature, whatever. You know, what's beneath it? It's a swamp. It's a land. Who cares? It's fake. This one has a way higher chance of being, like, actually flip into something cool because you get to do the old library manipulation beforehand. And maybe you just want library manipulation anyway on your Grey Ogre.
Yeah, like Grey Ogre Scry one?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty playable and limited. And that's... Grey Ogre Scry one is kind of the worst case of this card.
Yeah, no, it is pretty dang decent. It's a creature, it's a non-creature, it puts a card in the grave, gives you selection. It's just a really solid piece
You're
of something.
You're gonna block my island? You get to play awful mind games with your opponent?
Maybe the only manifest mind games are the guy, the Jeskai Infiltrator.
Yeah.
I like
mission.
That. Is he sneaking mission?
That's totally... Look at that. That's totally
sneaking
mission.
I grant you that he is sneaking, but he might also... maybe he's a freelance potter. Like, that is a potted plant that he is...
pilfering?
Moving from place to place? Casually adjusting? Touching just to feel it? That's weird. He's invading Diamond Land.
Yep. It's... And the fuzz will never catch him.
Diamonds. Who else has diamonds?
Shiny diamonds.
Soltai's Skullkeeper kind of does. I thought those were supposed to be an Abzan thing, and, you know, if he's invading or infiltrating an Abzan stronghold, fine, but what's Soltai's Skullkeeper doing with them? It's sort of like, no, I saw their motif, and I like it, and I'm rich, so, yeah.
Yeah, he just bought it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He took a trip to Salt Road and paid for some diamonds.
Yeah. That's where all the buying and selling happens. Salt has more value than life.
So as far as constructed formats, it's an honorable mention to Frostwalker for those, just for having twice as much power as converted mana cost. Torrent Elemental, of course, making a splash.
Yeah, doing some goofy tricks.
I think that is about all, frankly.
That's probably about it, unless we've
seen some people doing Monastery Siege, but I think that's sort of a poor gimmick, and it's going to be replaceable. And no one has yet cracked open Fascination for the fascinating potential of that card. So that's all we really got from there. Of course, we already have Better Than Neutralizing Blast and Disdainful Stroke, which definitely makes main decks in Standard. For how many things cost four or more, aka Siege Rhino, which is probably the best single card in Standard, and it's just tearing everything up.
It's kind of a problem.
And you've already gotten our limited and illustration assessments, I suppose.
More or less.
I'm still really mad at Renowned Weaponsmith for fetching one garbage card and one probably also...
one non-existent
garbage card.
Doesn't exist. Is doesn't exist better or worse than garbage?
I think that's slightly better than garbage.
Because,
You know, that's like the zero versus the minus one kind of thing. Where it's like, plus one it's good, minus one it's bad. This, with an unknown Gordo Radness value, we average out. However, I add to that a little knowledge of my expectations based on the long history of Magic the Gathering and what kind of cards they print and what they're willing to like search out or whatever. That Vial of Dragonfire is going to be just at best like neutral.
Alright.
So yeah, that's blue cards.
That's blue cards. Well, maybe if Vial of Dragonfire is no good, you can trade it away to that 2-1 Naga Shaman. Because in exchange, they will give you a very nice-looking skull.
Skulls!